May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Several years ago, a conflict that had been boiling away quietly between myself and my mother came to a head. It was a small conflict, but it burst out one day in that way that can happen between mothers and daughters, you know. We'd shared some important experience together that hadn't turned out the way that we had expected. Can't remember what it was. And my mother said, you know when your mother has phrases? So my mother said this phrase of hers, which always just drove me completely up the wall. She said, well, it's just water under the bridge. I had this image of this important experience just floating down the river, passing us by, never touching us, and making no difference in our life together. And so I burst out at her. I said, it is not water under the bridge. This is an important thing that we've been through. And my mother looked at me with some astonishment in her face. And she said, well, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. And it was then that we realized that perhaps what she meant by water under the bridge and what I meant might be two completely different things. And when she explained it, that in fact, get this, she may be the only person in the world who thinks this way, although maybe not. For her, water under the bridge means those experiences that connect two people together, that mean that you build a bridge. You have these experiences, so therefore you build a bridge. Wow! And I looked back over literally thousands of times that she'd used that expression that had intensely aggravated me, and I thought that, in fact, we had had a misunderstanding that had gone on for years. That what to my mind seemed like a critical or dismissive expression, where she was going, oh, well, it's just water under the bridge, was in fact her way of noticing something important and cherishing it. Wow. Who would have thought? Has anyone ever had an experience like that with a family member? Where you're like, hey, all these... Kirk?
Perhaps your mother was just confused that she's being the Simon and Garfunkel.
There we go. Bridge over troubled water. Yes. Good cultural reference. Excellent. Excellent. Isn't it funny how... You know, even when, like, my mother and I are fluent in the same language, it's both of our first languages. I grew up with her. How even when we're related and we grow up with one another, and we speak the same language and we're fluent in the same language and we're speaking that language together, I mean, this would be a different story if she and I were conversing in French and we had a misunderstanding. But this was a misunderstanding in our own first language that had gone on for years. Isn't it funny? We can so misunderstand one another in our own families. And so is it any wonder that when we read scripture, which is written thousands of years ago in languages that none of us speak or read, very, very, very small groups of people speak or read, but very few of us, I'm sure, is it any wonder that we should occasionally misunderstand what they mean? In today's gospel reading, we have the introductory section. These are the first verses from what's called the Markan Apocalypse. This is from the Gospel of Mark. This is his apocalypse, so this is the Markan Apocalypse. And it continues for all of chapter 13. And yes, it is about the end of the world. And if you think about, like with the children, every single apocalypse movie you've ever seen, then we may think that we know what apocalypse means. But friends, this is one of those long-lived misunderstandings that can create a good deal of confusion in the family. Because apocalypse doesn't really, strictly speaking, mean the end of the world. Apocalypse means to reveal. That's what the Greek word apocalypse actually means. To reveal, or rather, the revelation. It's when things that have been confusing become clear, and we see them for what they truly are. It was a revealing, an apocalyptic moment between my mother and I when I realized that instead of being critical and dismissive, she was being attentive and cherishing a moment. It's a revealing or apocalyptic moment when you realize that you're in love and you see the other person, like, you know how they grow a halo all of a sudden and they start just like, they sort of sparkle? Yeah, that's an apocalypse. That's what an apocalypse is. You're like, oh, wow. And I'm noticing, Michael and I have been married for 3 years, and I'm noticing that I see things in a different way because I'm with him. When I'm around him, that sort of shine that he takes on for me sort of affects other things. You know, like, dare I say it, politics and economics and all these things. It's very interesting, right? That's an apocalypse. It's a revealing moment when you tell someone about something that they did that hurt you and they have a chance to change. It's a revealing moment when you realize that you've done something wrong and you need to apologize yourself. We have these apocalypses in our lives when our perspective changes and we see things with a new kind of sight in a way that makes everything look different than it did before. They make sense in a different way. There is a different logic that now works. Things that have maybe seemed dreadful before, like my intense aggravation with my mother, for instance. I did tell her I was preaching this sermon. things that seemed dreadful before may, in light of this revelation, seem quite reasonable. Relationships that were strained can, in the blink of an eye, become less strained. And that was a turning point for us. Things that seemed normal before can, in a blink of an eye, come to be seen as actually not okay at all. Anyone who has ever suffered a betrayal or who has fallen in love with somebody that they thought that they disliked, that's not my story with Michael, but it does happen to some people, where you think you dislike somebody and then you fall in love with them. Whoops. Anyone who has experienced either of those two things knows exactly what I'm talking about. That is an apocalypse. All of a sudden, things are revealed for what they were actually all along. The thing hasn't changed, but our way of seeing it has changed. Now, we're not so very good, naturally, at seeing things the way that they are. We get confused. We misunderstand. We're prejudiced and resistant. We get distracted by all these different messages that we receive in life, like my mother is a critical, dismissive person. We can also get distracted by all kinds of things that seem to be important but really aren't, that clamor for our attention but they're really not important. We can get distracted by all the messages that we receive, all the advertising that goes on, and friends, we are swayed by power. The person who has power at a certain point in time, we are more likely to see things their way and see things through the lens of their perspective. We get confused, but God does not get confused. God sees clearly the truth of the whole matter. God knows the deepest truths of our hearts. God knows the deepest truths of the hearts of the people in power. God knows the deepest truths of the way that the world really is, the way that we are ensnared by the stories that we tell ourselves and stories about how money and power really are what the world is all about. God knows how much we care about, for some of us, being right, for some of us, status, for some of us, success. God knows how worried we are about whether there is enough and whether we can manage. And God loves us deeply. God loves us deeply. And God loves equally deeply those who have nothing at all and who are worrying right now about what will happen today and if their kids will be okay. God knows it all. And God loves us through it all. And one day, there will come a revealing when all will be made clear, when what was really important all along will be revealed, and what in the end was all dust in the wind. And I think that on that day, we will see, we will look back, and we will see that love and compassion and our struggles for justice and how we cared for others and how we received the care others wished to give to us and how we were together as a community and how we used our power for those more vulnerable than ourselves, we will see that those things were of the utmost importance. And the things that the world cares about so much will be counted as nothing compared to their surpassing value. And on that day, in that instant, the whole world will change. When we see it, we will look around ourselves with new eyes, and we will look back over everything that was before, and we will see God's hand at work. We will see God at work in the most important things: tending the sick, comforting the grieving, calling the lost, walking with the refugees and the outcast, searching in the storehouses of the rich for food for the poor, building wells for fresh water, and speaking peace into the hearts of the strong. We will see the transcendent love of God with clear eyes. That will happen on that day. But on this day, when we walk out of that door into the world with all its distractions, what do our eyes and our hearts see? What is the revelation that God might show us today, the little apocalypse for today? I think we should pray every day for a little apocalypse, don't you? Little apocalypse every day. When we walk out that door into the world, what will God show us today at the bus stop, at the grocery store, in traffic, on the way to bowling, on the phone with our kids? Friends, let us pray that today might be an apocalypse, a revelation, when the truth pierces through and we realize, aha, wow, look, God is here in the midst of all of this. And we can know how he is calling us to live. Amen.